we are recording both. Already it is on, huh? Okay. So this screen will go off on its own?
Yes.
And no phone calls will come?
No, airplane mode.
That's very good.
Samuji, can we say that actually there is no mind?
What was your question?
Actually there is no mind.
Yes, there is a mind. That which joins the Atman with the body is called the mind.
Then why does Thakur say that pure mind is nothing but Atman?
Because when the mind is very pure, then there would be no distortion. It will reflect the Atman. Because there is no other thought. So that is the nearest we can come with the mind. So Thakur is talking about two things. The state beyond the mind, the state within the mind. The state within the mind is what is called when all the thoughts, citta vritti nirodha, the mind is there, but it just reflects no other thought
excepting
God. So when will you get your, my face looks like this, when will you be able to find out? When the mirror is absolutely spotlessly clean, then you will see exactly whatever is in front of it. So that is what Sri Ramakrishna is reflecting. Then you see, when you look yourself in a mirror, constantly the thought is there, this is me. So, okay, I will illustrate it. You put on a 5 masks, thin, very thin silk cloth, a little more rough cloth, let us say 5, panchakosha. From head to toe or whatever is inside, covered like that. And when you cover yourself like that and look at your mirror, the outermost image will be reflected. Then what is your feeling? This is me. It's called Annamaya Kosha. And as we go inside, two things happen. The covering becomes thinner and thinner. The light also becomes more and more. So I will modify this illustration a little bit. Imagine there is pure, powerful light. And then you go on putting different cloths. And the outermost cloth looks like a human body. And then you put it in front of a mirror. How does the light look now?
Like a human body.
Without light, no reflection will be there. So that reflection is coming. This is a beautiful illustration because if there is light inside, you don't need any light outside. That light itself will make the reflection, even in the dense darkness. So as we go on removing the masks, two things happen. First of all, our identity is changing. Secondly, the cover is becoming thinner and even thinner, revealing more and more light. So the last fifth covering, as Sri Ramakrishna tells, is like a hurricane lantern. You know that glass. So you feel as if there is no obstruction, but there is a very thin obstruction. If the hurricane lantern glass is very clean, you don't see the glass. You see only the light. Once it happened to me, it can happen to anybody, in one of our ashramas in Geneva, Switzerland, there's a huge glass door. glass wall. So I could see beautiful Lake Ginny. So straight I went forward and my head hit. Fortunately it did not break. So then we can see that even though there is a glass, it is so thin, doesn't seem to be like a obstruction. That is the last case. So as we go inner and inner, the obstruction seems to be less and less and less, and more light will come. The first thing that happens is our concept of ourselves changes. Second, that the light becomes more and more evident. Ultimately, even the fifth one is only a case. It doesn't allow us to be near. So then we have the idea, I have happiness. Because that is called Anandamaya Kosha. So you break that one. Then there is, I become one with that. Then instead of saying I am having happiness, or there is happiness, I am happiness. I am happiness. That is the, that's what Sri Ramakrishna is telling. It is the fifth, what is called layer. When the mind is pure, it is the fifth layer. Because if there is a mind, there is an obstruction. But the obstruction is so thin, it feels as though I am that, even though it is not that. These are things which we have to experience. So how to do that? We are all. Only way is Sharanagati. That is why Abhedanandaji composed it. And who could do it better than Abhedanandaji? Because he was developing in a particular way. And then suddenly Swami Vivekananda came and then changed his whole attitude. Vivekananda entered into him. So there was a conflict. He could understand by Thakur's grace. So he said, O Mother, I have no other refuge but yourself. Okay, we'll start. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. So we are discussing the fourth hymn, Prakritim Paramam, composed by Swami Abhedanandaji Maharaj. We have dealt with first shloka, that the Holy Mother is equated with the Mahamaya. There are several statements by Holy Mother, I am none other than Mahamaya. But what is the speciality of concept of Mahamaya? We have to be very clear about this. The Vedantic, Advaitic concept of Mahamaya, the Dvaitic concept of Mahamaya, and Sri Ramakrishna's concept of Mahamaya, these are different. Sri Ramakrishna is very near when he says about the concept of Mahamaya to the Dvaita philosophy rather than to the Advaita philosophy. What is it? Everywhere in the Advaita philosophy, Mahamaya or Maya, Prakriti, Gunas, etc., is the veiling power, destroying power, power of ignorance, which is keeping us away from our true nature. In Dvaita philosophy, so for devotees of Vishnu, it is Lakshmi. For devotees of Brahma, it is Saraswati. For devotees of Shiva, it is Mother Parvati, Kali, Gauri, whatever name, Durga, whatever name. She is not an obstructive. She is the most benevolent, Sarva Mangala Mangalye, Shive, Sarvartha Sadike. No Advaitin will ever tell this Mahamaya is Sarvartha Sadike, Sarva Mangala Mangalye. He will. Sharanagata dhinartha paritrana parayane. Of course, everything, they are all devotees of Mahamaya only. It was said in the life of Shankaracharya that once he became arrogant, he did not care for Shakti. So one day he was walking and it was a very narrow path. An old woman was lying. So he said, "Mother, I have to go to the other side. Please remove yourself." Because Indians have a superstition, we don't want to step over. Then she said, "My son, I am too weak. Why don't you put me a little bit aside? Move me a little aside." He touched. The moment he touched, he himself could not move. And then he understood whatever power he had, intellectually or whatever, was all the result of Divine Mother. That's why he wrote several hymns. Shankaracharya himself was a great devotee, proving Swami Vivekananda's words, Paragnana and Paravatti, are one and the same. It is the same Brahman who is manifesting as the Shakti. Shankaracharya admits it in the Vivek Chudamani, Brahma Satyam, Jagat Satyam. When he says Jagat Satyam, so Jagat means it is nothing but Mahamaya's manifestation. So manifestation of Brahman as name and form is called Maya. And that Maya is the Divine Mother. So Shankaracharya, in his blood is flowing devotion. His father, mother were great devotees. But the later on people also, they are worshipping from morning till evening only the Divine Mother. Either Saraswati or Shankaracharya. Saraswati because Jnanadayini. But Dvaitins, they never consider this world as unreal. Therefore, it is the power of the Narayana or Shiva that is manifesting as this world. So that is the, for them it is real. It's everywhere they worship the Kamakshi or Meenakshi or Annapurna and even Shankaracharya. Sri Mata Anna Bhiksham Dehi Kripa Valambanakari Mata Anna Purneshwari. You have to come to that level only. So, this Dvaitins, for Sri Ramakrishna, it is who creates bondage? Mahamaya. Who liberates us? Mahamaya. Therefore, take complete refuge. That's why he started his spiritual life with the wholehearted surrender to the Divine Mother, with a prayer. You know that famous prayer? O Mother, I am a fool. I do not know what is real, what is unreal. Here is your dharma, here is your dharma. Here is your good, here is your evil. So take everything, I offer it to you. That means, what is he telling? It is by the grace alone, whatever I have to get, I will get. If anybody becomes arrogant, then his will be broken. I have got two instances to tell. Swami Vivekananda once visited Kshirabhavani or Vaishnavi Devi. Kshirabhavani. It was dilapidated. It was broken by Muslims. Swami Vivekananda's mind thought that had I been there, I would have offered myself to protect the Divine Mother. That is an arrogant idea. Then immediately he heard a voice, "Is it you who protects me? Or is it I who protect you?" So this incident teaches us a very important lesson. That lesson is, even the Muslims also came, by whose will? Yes. And there is a huge meaning behind it. Since it is in the context, I will just tell you, when superficial students of Indian history read Indian history, they have nothing but contempt to the Western people, say British people or even Muslims, etc. Let us take the British people. But for the British people, India would never have risen. So what did they do? The first thing they did was they united the whole broken India into one political India. There was always a cultural India, a spiritual India, but never a political India before British people came. Even Muslims could not do it. They conquered, they ruled through various rajas, etc., but they could never unite India. Whereas the British people, what they did was, they brought about this political unity because they conquered the whole of India and then made it, the present India is a political India with the background of cultural and spiritual foundations. So Muslims could not do it. In fact, they bred more of hatred, division, Hindus and Muslims can never. Whereas the British people, they united, they never touched Hindu religion. British missionaries were condemning Hindu religion for conversion. But British government never put their hand and said, you Hindus are backward people like that. Because they were clever people, you know. So they united through railways. First they united. Because when a person travels, then that sense of identity comes. Then the greatest thing they did, they introduced English language. English language. Because unity requires one single language. It is seen in history, whichever country has got different languages spoken, unity cannot come. Because we are so proud of our language, so which language should dominate the whole country? Hindi fellows will say Hindi. Telugu people will say Telugu. Tamilian people say Tamil. Every language, even if 5 people are speaking, it is our language. But English people came and said, everybody will speak only English language. So they established their educational system. What is the speciality of that? Everywhere uniform type of education. So that's why you go anywhere. The textbooks will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It is exactly the same. Wherever you go, it will be the same. Only funny thing was, their motivation was to make an army of clerks, not rulers. But they did not know they were digging their own grave. So what happened? All our people were fascinated by English language, English culture, English food, everything English, like monkeys. We started imitating them. But the result was that most people knew how to speak English language. Now this is the introduction of railways and introduction of education for everybody, for most people, including even women, slowly, slowly, but with one common language. Otherwise, there is no way they could bring any Indian language. The third thing that they have done is, see, they have opened the doors. They broke. Before British people, what was Hindu society? First of all, it was a closed society. And arrogance. What arrogance? That we know everything and we will not admit any new foreign idea, especially scientific ideas and cultural ideas, artistic ideas, we will not admit. So the British people, very easily they created divisions, already it is divided, caste, etc., and they broke the wall. When you break the wall of any house, you know what happens? People can come from outside to inside, but people also from inside can go outside. So that's what happened to our people. They went for higher education outside India, to mainly UK, even some people to United States like that. When they reached there and they know English language and they started reading books, they started observing things. So the idea of complete freedom and or independence, that idea came. Why every nation is trying to become free? Why can't we become free? That their very education has brought us the idea of freedom. Everywhere, in Africa, here, everywhere. Wherever they went, this is what they did, and this is what the result. So, this positive contribution of the British people, even though they looted the money, it is great help to Indians. They did not know that this very united India is going to be a superpower in future, and they will be these people, very people who wanted to keep us enslaved, they themselves will become the victims of their own introductions. But what is the point I am trying to tell you? Did this happen because of our fault or Divine Mother's will? Both. Both. Because we have to learn a lesson. What is the lesson? Human being is constantly evolving. Evolution requires fight on three fronts. Because we are body, we are mind, we are spirit. Spiritually, India was great. So many saints, so many spiritual sadhakas, even ordinary people. But we are neglecting our physical health, and we are neglecting also mental health. How? Because mind not only is imbued with religion in India, but we are not allowing scientific ideas to kick in. So when Swami Vivekananda went wrong, and he was modern educated. Sri Ramakrishna was not modern educated. Therefore, he can't go out. Sri Ramakrishna could not go out. Why was, for example, you know, why was Swami Vivekananda eating beef and pork and all those things? Because he had to go out. If Sri Ramakrishna goes, no, I don't touch it. Touch me not. Then how long he will survive in that cold? And how is he going to talk? Simply Brahma Satyam Jagannitya will not work there. Swami, a person like Swami Vivekananda, to put them down with their own weapons was necessary. So Ramakrishna had done great service, but through Swami Vivekananda. He was modern educated and he knew how to convey the ideas with their own weapons. Funny thing happened, you know. One day he was staying with a family, and there were 2-3 girls were there. They became instant fans of Swami Vivekananda. And one day, university professors in a group, they had all come, and they wanted to put down Swami, thinking, an Indian, what does he know? So this beautiful description in the New Discoveries about Swami Vivekananda by Mary Louise Burke in 5 volumes. Beautiful description. So these professors, you know, they were putting questions on science. Swamiji not only was replying from the latest scientific book, he was giving them, oh, where did you get this one? Such and such a book. This is the author, you know, which they never heard. Then, after getting defeated in every field, they took refuge in the Bible, thinking, what does this heathen know about Bible? And these girls were watching, and they were becoming more and even more delighted whenever Swamiji was striving. Their blood BP was going up. What was going up? BP means what? Blood pressure was going up. Then they took refuge. And then they were quoting from Bible. Swamiji was counter-quoting from the same Bible and telling them, because their memory was very poor. Swamiji's memory was huge. He by-hearted the whole Bible and commentaries. And he was quoting like that, such and such an author interpreted like that. And then they had to, somehow they escaped with what they call life and limbo. Sri Ramakrishna could not have done that because he hardly knew. He had vision of Jesus Christ, okay, but he doesn't know anything about biblical quotations. The what is called the method of debate, he never knew about it. So what are we talking about? The British people came, they were selfish, they got benefit, but first point is, through whose will? Divine Mother's will, let us not forget, because unbeknown to themselves, they did a lot of good to India in two factors, by bringing modern education and by uniting, most of all. Today, what India is, we owe to the British people. Had our Rajas been there, they would have been fighting with each other. So now, why did they come? For their benefit or for our benefit? For our benefit. What was the benefit? For centuries together, since nearly 2000 years, if not more, women and mass, all these what you call Shudra caste, etc., are being totally oppressed. They were being treated like Americans used to treat those, and worse than that. So their prayers also will be there. They are also children of the mother. So the mother said, the upper classes need some good punishment. And that is how the British people, unbeknown, laid the foundations for the future good of the India. So, two ideas we have to derive from this, very important. The first idea is that whatever happens, happens by the will of only God. And whatever happens by the will of God is for the good of everyone. So, every nation we see that it is because of this. Now, second example we wanted to tell. Once Swami Turiyananda and Swami Adbhutananda were having a dialogue, conversation. Somehow Turiyananda said, passed some remarks about the operation of Russian Tsar. Ratu Maharaj was listening. Immediately the axe came down. Do you think who really was doing all this operation and suppression? Was it Tsar or was it the Divine Mother through the medium of the Tsar? Then Turiyananda went to pass some remark. Immediately Adbhutananda's axe came down and said, is it not you who sing Shokali Tomari Icha? If you believe in that, then who is making Tsar a puppet and making him play? It is the Divine Mother. So we have to understand that things happen by the will of the Divine Mother. But unfortunately, what is her leela? She gave a bit of freedom to us and deluding us. So I know everything. That means what? First thing is I deny your existence. Whose existence? Divine Mother's existence. Secondly, I think I am responsible for whatever good is happening. For whatever bad is happening, she is responsible. This hypocrisy, you know. So everything happens by the will of God. But then what we need to do is, it is true that everything happens by the will of Mother. At one stage, until that time, so long as we feel I am the doer, the responsibility also will come. This is what in the Bhagavad Gita we have learnt in the fourth chapter. Namam karmani limpanti, name karma phale spriha, iti mam yo abhijanati. So that is an important idea. So long as that freedom is there, this freedom can make us assume about ourselves in two ways. I am the doer or you are the doer. So most of us are in which condition? I am the doer. So if I am the doer, the inevitable law is I am the enjoyer also. Aham karta, aham bhokta. Actually, this Mahamaya manifests in three ways. Aham jnata, aham karta, aham bhokta. And in that order. First thing, what is the first thing? I know. Because without knowing, you can't do any action. You had come here because you knew that there would be a class. Suppose next week you don't come. You want to come, but you won't come. Why? Because you might come to know, next week I will not be there, there would be no class. In either case, there is a class and there is not going to be a class. Both is depending upon what?
Knowledge.
So that aham jnata, that is, I am doing, I am not doing. Both are part of that knowledge. So if we know something to be done and something should not be done. So this I am the knower immediately followed by a desire. And that desire manifests, I want to do or I don't want to do. And that is followed by either experience of happiness or experience of unhappiness. These three is called the samsara. Samsara. This is what Shankaracharya, so many good points we have to learn from him. He categorized the whole transmigratory cycle in three words, most wonderful words. Avidya, Kama, Karma. Avidya, Kama, and Karma. So that karma includes bhuktrutva bhava. I am the experiencer. I know, I do, and I experience. That we use a very beautiful word in Sanskrit. That jnata, karta, bhokta. In Bengali language, very meaningful in some words. So bhukche. Bhukche means he is doing bhoga. That means he is enjoying. No, here it means just the opposite. A fellow is suffering. Yes, third ring. He always goes through the third ring. Third ring. What is it? Engagement ring, wedding ring, and suffering. Three rings. So, bhokta. Because whatever we experience, we have to go through that, good or bad. So that is what, this is the background we have got. Everything happens by thy will. So why this whole topic had come? Sri Ramakrishna started his sadhana with a prayer. Oh mother, I am a fool. I don't know anything. You know everything. I am your child. Please guide me. Here is your dharma and adharma. Here is your good and evil. What is Thakur talking about? Can you guess? What is he talking about? Gnatrutva bhava, I know what is dharma, I don't know what is dharma, I am giving up. You know it. Secondly, so what is good I am supposed to do, what is evil I am supposed to avoid. I am giving it up. Automatically, who suffers? Only mother has to suffer. Because where there is no kartrutva bhava, there is no bhoktrutva bhava. This is a most wonderful principle. I am going to illustrate it to you. See, whenever we do something, every action is followed by a reaction, which is called karma phala. Now this karma phala, does everybody enjoy the karma phala? No. For example, this karma phala siddhanta. You know what is karma phala? If I do good, I get punya. If I do evil, I get papa. Both of them do not come to everybody. It doesn't come to everybody. But how come? an animal, a tiger, kills, do you think that it will get papa? It won't get papa. What is the reason? Reason is, it doesn't have kartrutva bhava, in the sense that it kills. I have to kill. But that doesn't have that power. I am the doer. Doing an action and feeling I am the doer, these are two separate issues. A child discharges a gun. Will the police come and punish? A madcap, he does something. Will the police put him in the jail? They don't put. Where will they put him? Lunatic asylum. Not in the jail. Because he doesn't have the idea that I am scheming to do a killing. I will think how to do it. And I will execute. That jnatritva, kartritva, bhoktritva, bhava is impulsive. It's like a car. You take a car and then smash it against a tree or against a person. The car is not punished. Who is punished? Why? The car doesn't have? Yes, these are the points you have to think and understand. A child, he may discharge, but he doesn't have that scheming. Just he does it impulsively. Action is done. But kartrutva bhava, I am the doership, is not there. Madcap, it is not there. That is why even in law, until a child becomes mature, which is around 14 to 16 years, the child's name also you cannot name. This fellow killed somebody. Only there is what they call the major. When he attains major. Major means what? The law says, now you are capable of feeling that I am the doer. Then only the law applies. That's why whenever any killing takes place, every killing is not called a murder. You are driving a car and accidentally something happens, somebody is killed. You are not called a murderer. You are a careless driver. So for that one type of punishment, it's just an accident. You know, two people are friends. They're sitting, they're talking. Talking develops into argument, and argument develops into fist fighting. Fist fighting, one of them is killed. Their punishment is different. He is also not called a murderer. Okay, he did something wrong. He is in his full senses, but temporarily they're out of their mind. You understand now? So that is one type of punishment. But somebody sits, schemes, makes everything, another type of punishment. Then only it becomes a murder. See, so it all depends. The final action is the same. The result is the same. But the prior things are different. So what is the point we are discussing? That unless there is a kartrutva. So some conditions have to be fulfilled. What is the first condition? A person must be, first of all, he must be in his good senses. He should not be drinking. He should not be fuzzy. For what if somebody comes and gives a tap, like a strong Bhimsena, if he gives a tap on anybody's head, what happens? A small child giving a tap, and Bhimsena giving a tap, there is a lot of differences there. Then the head will be really, if at all. At that time, if he does something, it is not his responsibility. So, first of all, a person must be alive. Then he must be conscious. Why am I telling that a person must be conscious? But there are two types of consciousnesses are there. What two types? You must have heard, some people are sleepwalkers. Have you heard about it?
Yes.
So there are people, in their sleep, they get up, they go, kill somebody, come back home nicely, and don't remember anything. Such people are not punished as murderers, because he doesn't even know about it, what they are doing it. They do sometimes good also, sometimes worse things also. So a person should not only be conscious, he must be in his what is called rational capacity to think the consequences. This is the second condition. Then whenever a person is in that condition, he develops a peculiar conscience that I am the doer, therefore if it is good, I am the doer, thanks for me. If it is bad, he feels guilt. Guilty conscience comes. A child will not have guilty conscience. He does something, he goes and nicely sleeps. That's why he quarrels with somebody, and the next second he comes and embraces, he forgets the whole thing. That is not kartrutva bhava. Is there, temporary. But we are talking about permanent kartrutva. I did that, I did that. Yes, many people will be, you know, some of our swamis, for 3 months they become heads of centers. After that, they will never allow anybody to forget that once upon a time they were heads of centers. Yes, so many things are there like that. So many people are like that. So, that is the first, only a conscious being can have kartrutva bhava. Then he must be in his right mind. Then he must take responsibility, that sense of responsibility, I am the doer, must be there. When these three conditions are fulfilled, then either papa or punya will accrue to that person. Animals also do actions, mad people do actions, children do actions, irrational people do activities, but they are not getting punya as well as papa. Even tigers also seen sometimes rescuing other the small animals. There are some instances are there. So will they get punya? Even ourselves also, so you are donating blood to female pregnant woman. Will you get punya?
No.
You understand? Mm-hmm. You don't get. Why? Because willy-nilly giving. You are not giving. They are?
Accidentally.
No, not accidentally. Purposefully only they come. They don't do it accidentally. There is mosquitoes don't never do anything accidentally. So when mosquitoes suck your blood, you get punya or what? Why? There is no kartrutva bhava. I am donating. So these are the conditions. Three conditions. You must be conscious. You must be in a rational, good sense. And you must be doing it with an intention so that you feel I am responsible for that. Only when these three conditions are fulfilled, kartrutva bhava, doership, and then only the bhoktrutva, I am the enjoyer, will come. What did Sri Ramakrishna do? He is telling, Mother, I am a fool. Matrutva bhava, gone. Mother, I do not know anything. Matrutva bhava is gone. Mother, I am helpless. I don't know what is right, what is wrong. I don't know what to do, what not to do. Kartrutva bhava is also gone. And as a result, whatever gives, like a child, I don't know anything. My mother has given. So when we are enjoying something, that feeling is there. What feeling? What feeling am I talking about?
I am enjoying.
No, that is there. I am enjoying, I deserve it. Because I did it. That bhavana will not be there in a child. You ask a child, nice, sweet. He is enjoying. Are you enjoying? Yes. Who gave it to you? My mother. He doesn't say, I have earned it. He says, my mother gave it to me. That karta, I am the doer, that is absent in the
child.
But whereas I deserve it. And when we are suffering, there is no doership. It is somebody else's papa. We are hypocrites, you know. That is why Sri Ramakrishna illustrates the, through the story of the Brahmana and killing of the cow. Remember the story?
Yes.
Gayatri? You don't remember? So afterwards you listen it. So very briefly, a Brahmana was making a beautiful garden. One day a cow strayed, and then it ate some of the precious plants. So the Brahmana went and killed it. And he knew a little bit of Vedanta. He said, my hands killed the cow, and hands are controlled by Indra, so the papa will go to Indra. Now the papa, it went to Indra. It didn't have the buddhi. Brahmana says that papa belongs to Indra because Indra did it. So the papa went to Indra. Why did you come to possess me? Because you killed the cow. When did I kill? That's what the Brahmana told. He's a Vedanta Pandit. So Indra said, wait a little. You come with me. So he took the form, came there. Oh, what a beautiful garden. Who did it? I did it. And slowly he took to the place where the cow is lying dead. Who did this? He could not say, because everything I was doing. But the killing of the cow alone was done by Indra, a hypocrisy. So the papa immediately entered into the destiny. So what are we talking about? A child doesn't have punya or papa, because that constant feeling, I am the doer, will not be there. But temporarily it will be there. Temporarily, I am taking a stick, I am beating something, or I am doing something, just momentary, and then it passes. Whereas for us, that is there. That's why if we gave 1 paisa, we feel that fellow should be grateful. Janma Janmantra. <That's>, one fellow, he climbed to heaven. And the doors were, of course, closed. He knocked. Then Saint Peter opened the window, peeped under. What the hell do you want? So I want to enter into heaven. So did you do anything good? Said, yes, once I gave one rotten cucumber to a starving beggar. So Saint Peter called Gabriel. Gabriel, bring 2 rotten cucumbers. Here are your cucumbers. Get out. Do you think he is still remembering, he gave. This is our condition. When we do little good, we want them to remember always. When others do so much good, we don't want to remember. Who is serving us? Who is the greatest servant of every human being? God. How much time our pujari in the Aratrikam fans? After 10 minutes, it's only the last 5 minutes only he will do that. And for that his hands will get heavy and tired. God is fanning us unceasingly from birth to death. If God takes 1 second's rest, then we are all gone. So that kartrutva, natrutva bhava, I am the knower, kartrutva bhava, I am the doer, and I am the enjoyer, experiencer, bhoktrutva bhava. These 3 constitute bondage. And what is spiritual sadhana? To get rid of, I don't know, you are the knowledge, you are the doer, and you are also the enjoyer. That's what has to be done. Now come back. The second verse, gunahina sutan. We are divided up. We are sutan. We are your children. We are your children because the whole universe is created by whom? By God. So I am also a child. The whole world is your creation. I am part of your creation. Therefore, I am also your child. But yeah, I am your child, okay, but I don't have your qualities. What is your quality? Sarva Mangala Mangalye, I don't have that quality. This is what is called gunahina. I do not have any qualifying gunas. Good qualities, bad qualities, plenty. Good qualities, very few. Because everybody will have either sattva guna, rajo guna, tam, all three will be there. But in what proportion? Gunahina sutan means specially, I do not have spiritual qualities. I do not have good qualities. Oh mother, how can I deserve your grace? And yet there is only one factor. I do not deserve anything, but then I deserve everything because I belong to you. Unahina sutan. Because I do not have good qualities, means I have got bad qualities. Aparadhayutan. I am full of crime. Because you are doing what is injurious, what is harmful, not only to others, but more than anybody else to my own self. If I am not spiritual, that's why Isaya Vasyopanishad says, if I am not spiritual, I am like a person who is committing suicide. Asuriya namate loka andhena tamasa avrutaha tangte pretya avigachyanti ekecha atma hano jana. People, they are like committing suicide. That means it is not physical suicide. It is spiritual suicide. You know what is spiritual suicide? Because certain terms when we use, our meaning becomes different. What does this spiritual suicide mean? I am killing my own happiness. Translate it in that way. That means what? I could have been very happy, but for some reason I am not doing what conduces for my own happiness. So am I not happy now? Occasionally, yes. But then what is the scripture telling? You could have been far more happier. Even on this earth, even right now, under the same circumstances, you could have been far more happier if only you had utilized this. So this is the meaning of it. Aparadha, last class I mentioned, the greatest crime we commit against ourselves is called prajna aparadha. Prajna means what? Not developing what is called self-knowledge. Prajna means wisdom. If we do not become wise, then we become fools. So a foolish fellow is equated to unhappy person. A wise person is equated to very happy person. Don't we want happiness? We all want to be happy. No person will be there who says, I want to be unhappy. If any foolish person uses those words, what he means is, I will be very happy when I am unhappy. I am a happy person when I am unhappy person. Yes. Is it a fact? Yes, it is a fact. How is it a fact? Is an unhappy person thinks he is a happy person? Think. See, there are, all of us fall under that category. What is that category? We are greatest. There is some word called warriors. How do you know? How do you spell? W-A. That remove that A and substitute it with O. We are the greatest warriors. We know it is foolish to worry. If something is to happen, happen. If something is not going to happen, not going to happen. But we go on worrying, worrying, worrying. And if we ask, why don't you stop worrying and start living? Then we don't want to listen. Because we must be getting something from that, isn't it? What is that something?
Happiness.
We are very happy worrying about it. That's what I'm telling. We are happy by being
unhappy.
It's called negative type of happiness. There are many negative types of expressions of happiness. Drinking, smoking, alcohol, drugs, and so many wrong type of habits. Yes, I can catalogue many. I'm just giving a hint for you to think. A fellow who goes to a dirty hotel full of oily substance and then goes and enjoys, thoroughly goes on enjoying, is he doing something positive or negative?
Negative.
Temporarily, it might seem to give him some kind of tickling sensation. But in the long run, it is counterproductive. This is what people call negative happiness. What is negative happiness? Not unhappiness. Happiness or pleasure now, immediately, and a long-term unhappiness. This is called negative happiness. So, aparadhaitan, kripaya, by your grace, adya, right now. Adya means the meaning of the word adya is today. But here, in this context, adya means, O mother, right now. Samudhara, please uplift me. I want to, how can mother uplift? If I am unhappy, she must give me happiness. If I have an evil quality, then she must get me rid of that evil quality and make me develop a good quality. If I am committing some crime, she must stop me from committing the crime and make me do something good. It is said about Namadeva that he, I don't know how far it is true, but as an illustration it is okay. He was leading a very criminal life. Is a robbing and killing and other things. So what happened? One day he was passing. There was a lady. She has 3-4 children under a tree. She was forlorn and weeping. So somehow he felt pity and said, "Mother, why are you weeping?" He said, "What can I do? Yesterday my husband was killed by some robbers, and I have nothing to live on. My children, we are starving." At that moment, he realized, who was the killer?
He was
the killer. Don't ask me whether it is true or not. It's a kind of story. So it transformed. He said, "I was that sinner who committed that crime. From now onwards, I will take upon myself. I will look after you." And his life changed. He became a saint, Ratnakara. Valmiki. Changed. So many people have changed. Buddha was supposed to have changed Angulimala. Holy Mother was supposed to have changed that highway robber. Like that, so many people, thousands and thousands of people, when they come into contact with good people, they'll be changed. Oh Mother, please change my knowledge. You see, this is a very important point. If we are behaving wrongly, if we are suffering also, the root cause is what? Wrong?
Knowledge.
So what does the mother do? Right knowledge. She will, if we pray to her, when we realize we are suffering and we are responsible, if we pray wholeheartedly, she will remove that or transform that wrong knowledge into right knowledge. This is what Gayatri Mantra is about. Dhiyo Yonaha. Give me right understanding. You drive my understanding. Means what? If Krishna drives the chariot, that means what is that chariot here? Chariot means how life should be lived. So he transformed the whole life of Arjuna. Had not Krishna been there, had Shakuni been there, and what would have been the condition of Arjuna? This is an imagery. You should not take it literally. There is a chariot. In Kathopanishad you get, you know, so Atmanam Rathinam Vithi Shariram Rathamevato. This whole body is a chariot. It's a chariot is meant for what? For a travel. Travel is meant for where? From 1.1 to point 2, point A to point B. What is that point? From a lower state of consciousness to the highest state of consciousness. These are our instruments, the chariot given to us so that our travel will be smoother. But only if we control our horses, which are senses, and we know the pathway very well so that we don't enter into wrong pathways, and for that we need a guide, and the prayer accomplishes that work. That is what Sri Ramakrishna is telling. Mother, you tell me what to do. You teach me what I should do, what I should not do. This is the greatest prayer in the world. This was the prayer Jesus Christ taught to people. Let thy will be done. Let thy will be done. So, what type of children we are? Mohagata. We are deluded. All of us are deluded. What is delusion? That what is unreal is taken for real. And what is real is taken for unreality. What is God is taken for as unreal. And world is taken as reality. In truth, where what are we attached to? Our body, our mind, which is in this world. How many of us are really attached to God? Very few. Taranim bhavasagara parakarim. Who are you? You are the only boat. Not only you are the boat, you are the only boat. Every other boat will take you from place one to place two. But you are the only boat which can take us out of this ocean of transmigration. Bhavasagara tarana karana he. Bhavasagara parakari. Only you can take me. Pranamami param jananim jagatam. O mother, we salute you. You are the supreme mother of the entire universe. Vishayam kusumam parihritya sada charanam bruhamruta shanti sudham piva bringa mano bhavaroga haram pranamami param jananim jagatam. Now the third shloka is a sadhaka. Only a sadhaka can pray like this. Is addressing his own mind. This imagery of a person addressing his own mind is very common. Mano chalo nijanike. Oh mind, let us go back. Allide nammane illi bande summane. So every time is what is the other Ramprasad song, is it? It's not coming to my mind, you know. Oh, be of my mind. Shama poda pankaja. Like that. Majalo amar mon, majalo amar mon brahmara. Oh, be of my mind, majalo. So, get delighted at the lotus feet of the Divine Mother. So, in every language, every saint has got this because God has given the wisdom. We know what to do, what not to do. But our, what Bengali they call it, podamon, this rogue of a mind, is it going to listen? Many times that is our problem. We know what is right, we have no inclination to do it. We know what is bad, we have no, I can resist everything excepting temptation. I can resist everything excepting temptation. What else have we got to resist? So, this is addressing his own mind. What is a manobhringa? Oh, be of the mind. Piba. You drink. Drink what? Pibare ramarasam. So, piba. What is it? But if you want to drink, are you drinking before or are you not drinking? You are drinking before also. What were you drinking? Vishayam kusumam parihritya. Stop drinking the juice that comes out of Vishaya Sukha. Vishaya Sukha. All our senses are naturally from their tendencies to run towards the objects of enjoyment. Our mind is always going down. Like water, always it goes down. So naturally, you don't need to tell. See, please go down. There is no need to tell. Automatically, it will go down. Now we have to, please go up. For that, we have to first stop. Stop going down. So that's what Vishayam Kusumam. This Vishayam, Visha and Vishaya, very closely, like Chita and Chinta. chita and chinta. So this chita, agni, it burns a human being only once in lifetime, funeral fire. But this chinta, 24 hours, it burns a person. Like that, every vishaya is a visha. Why? Because that which makes us, takes us away from God is called visha. What does visha do? Takes us away from life. That is what true life is in God. That is what these vishayas do that. But that is a superficial view. What is the wrong with the objects of the senses? You can't blame them. Whom should we blame? Ourselves. Because it is the same objects which are offered to God, and then our mind can turn towards God. So, problem is not with the world. Problem is with our mind. Vishayam kusumam sada parihrutya. Give up delighting in the objects of the senses. Then, how to do it? Because there is a law. If you want to develop a new habit, if you want to give up an old, what is called negative habit, you can't simply say, I will give up. It works counterproductive. You know, I don't want to get angry. That's not going to help. You have to think about the opposite. What is the opposite? I want to be peaceful. I want to be happy. I want to be compassionate. I want to serve other people. So this is always think about the opposite quality. Don't think about the monkey. So at this time, don't think about the monkey. I don't want to think about the monkey. What are you thinking about? Only monkey. Bring something else. So, sada charana ambu ruha amruta shanti sudham. Drink the amruta that comes. What is the amruta? Shanti sudha. Sudha means amruta. What type of amruta? Shanti. Definite peace of mind will come. Peace means here, the highest joy will come. There's a wonderful psychology involved here. And we discussed about it many times. So what is it? How do we get happiness from any object? What does it do? I like, say, a sweet. And I get this sweet. I eat that sweet. What do we say? I am happy. How does that happiness come? Does this sweet give me happiness? No. How does it happen? My mind is restless with the desire. This object, my mind becomes like fire. This object becomes like cold water. For the time being, this restlessness of the mind comes to an end because that object has concentrated my mind. It removed that desire. For that short time, the mind has become very calm and quiet. And then the inner happiness, just like light, comes out. Like, you know, in front of you, there is a mirror. We can use it in two ways. There is a mirror. It is steady, but you are dancing. What would be your reflection? Dancing. Or you are stationary, the mirror is moving, then also the result will be exactly. This is what Gaudapada gives, the alata shanti. So you just take one incense stick and light it up and then do like that. You see a circle of light. Is there a circle of light? There is no circle of light. It is only one tip of the incense stick, but it creates the illusion. So like that, when the mirror is moving, it is making the illusion that I am also moving. to for me to have a steadfast reflection, I also must be stationary, and the mirror also must be stationary. Then I can see my reflection clearly. So this is what happens when any object fulfills our desire. Temporarily that desire is quelled, and when that desire is quelled, the mind becomes peaceful with regard to that object for a short time. At that time, the real nature of ours, that Ananda Swarupa, will be for a short time gets reflected in that mind, which we call, I am happy. But then another desire comes. So again, so the same rigmarole will come. So this is the psychology of happiness. But when we focus our mind upon God, the same thing happens, but with two caveats. The first caveat is, so the Divine Mother doesn't give us happiness. She lets us know, I am happy, you are happiness. You are not getting happiness, you are happiness. The second caveat is, it is permanent. Unlike a sensory, sense object, how much time it will give you? Momentary. But this Divine Mother will give permanently. That's what is, that state of permanent happiness has a different name. It has many names, two names. Ananda is one name, Shanti is another name. This is what Holy Mother was talking about. My child, if you want peace of mind, not P-I-E-C-E, P-E-A-C-E. Say, there was a couple and they had a child. And this child was very intelligent. So the husband went on boasting, you know, our child has got all my brains. Our child has got all my brains. And once or twice the wife put up with it. After that she retorted, now I see why you are behaving in such an idiotic way ever since the birth of our child. Because all the brains have gone into the child. You have become brainless. So don't give a piece of your mind to anybody. In the course of time, your mind also becomes... that is not the peace we are talking about. Shanti Sudham, Piba, drink constantly, because it is an unceasing flow, because the Divine Mother is eternal. Charana Ambo Ruha Amruta. Where from this nectar is coming? From the lotus feet. What does it mean? It means, O Mother, let me think of your lotus feet all the time. In Indian cultural tradition, this lotus takes a very important part. That's why in other religions, you don't get the lotus feet of Jesus Christ. You don't get it. Here, lotus means the best symbol, the best thing. It's a symbol for the best in everything. That is called lotus. The national flower is called
lotus.
And then where will be the child playing? Generally, where do you see the child playing? At the feet of the
mother.
So, this lotus, Charana Ambu. There is a funny story also about this, you know. Devotees of Krishna always go there. Some sect is there, a sect of Krishna. What do they do? It's a peculiar belief. They go and suck the toe of Krishna. So Krishna started wondering, what are these fellows getting out of this? Every time they come to bow down, they bow down and put my toe into their mouths and don't leave it. What are they getting? So he became curious. So one day nobody was coming, so he looked here and there. So he took his own toe into his mouth and said, Hare Baba, so so much of this nectar is coming. This is the secret. That is why the devotees are not leaving it. Now I am not going to give it to anybody. That's why you see him in that position. You know, small baby, always it is like that. That is the symbolism of it. Charanambaruha amrita shanti sudha. Oh, be of my mind. So what do I get? Not only you get great joy, but on the other hand, bhava rogahara. It cures the disease called samsara. Samsara roga, that means what? You will be permanently liberated from this cycle of transmigration called birth, growth, old age, disease, death. So you will be, so therefore, O mother, I have no other way, but I want to bow down to you because you are the highest mother. Why is called she the greatest mother? We all have mothers. We all have mothers. Because without mother, birth is not possible. But our mothers are as ignorant as anybody else. So one, a person who is ignorant cannot give liberation to the other person. But this divine mother knows. What does this mother knows? I am divine. And a divine mother's children will be what? Divine only. That's, but I have forgotten about it. What am I doing? I am identifying myself with my earthly mother. I am your child and you are ignorant. Therefore, I am also ignorant. But even we shift this, you are not my real mother. You are only one link among the infinite number of chains, but my real mother is the divine mother. Once we come to know about it, then we also feel, if my mother is divine, I am also divine. If my mother is queen, then I am also a prince. Yes, an ordinary person cannot be like that. This is, if my mother is a dog, I will be also a dog. Yes, one fellow was taken to a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist asked this fellow, what is the problem with you? He said, I'm a dog. Since when have you been suffering from this disease? He said, what do you mean by since when? Ever since I was a puppy. Only when puppy only, puppy, does the puppy think I'm not a dog? So, this is our problem. We are all like that. So this is what we need to do. Oh mother, I take refuge. This is the path shown to us by Sri Ramakrishna himself. That is why this has been introduced into our day-to-day hymns. So we get the Sharanagati Bhava, Tasmatvameva Sharanam, Madina Bandho, Sharanagata Dinatha Paritrana Parayane, Sarvasyati Hari Devi Narayani Namostute. And here this is Sharanagata Sevaka Toshakarim. Then also this Sharanagati, Pranamami. Pranamami means what? Pranamami means I take refuge in you. It is Sharanagati. I told you, Pranamami. Namami, Prakrishta Rupena Namami is Pranamami. What Namaskara means what? Namaha means what? Not mine. Not mine means everything belongs to whom? To you. This is the idea we are getting. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhur.